at night. Many a moon coming, shine.
Welcome to Paris Cocktail Talk. I'm 52 Martinis, and I'm here to talk about what, where, how, and why to drink in the capital, with a focus on French cocktail trends and ingredients, and other boozy news from the city. For this episode, we're looking at bars that focus on a single spirit. Now, of course, you don't want every bar in the city to do the same thing. It's nice to have some variety, but I really have a lot of respect for the few bars that do this and do it well. It's the same way I feel about writing the blog, whereas for me, I'd rather go deeper than wider. I don't want to write about every city. I want to write really, really well and be very thorough about Paris, one particular place. Now, we've already talked about recently Stan of the Bar Tiger. This is a bar that focuses on gin. So we didn't revisit that bar for this episode, but I do think it's worth mentioning them again because they're doing a great job of it, and it is definitely a place to go if you want a bar that focuses on gin. There's also Candelaria with a nice selection of tequilas and mezcals, and they are worth a visit if that's what you're interested in. This episode, however, we're going to talk to some other guys behind some other great bars. We will hear from Thomas of Paris's legendary barbecue joint, The Beast, and we'll talk about his American whiskey selection. We'll talk to Joseph of Mabel about their large selection of rums, and we'll also talk to Javier of Sherry Butt about their exceptional whiskey collection. So, pour yourself a cocktail, sit back, relax, and let's see what these guys have to say. I'm here down at The Beast, and for those of you listening, you're already probably the type of person who knows about this place, but if you missed it, it is a fantastic barbecue joint here in Paris. Thomas Abramovich, or Thomas Abramovitz, if you're saying it with an American accent, is a Frenchman who knows a lot about barbecue. However, he's not just a Frenchman who knows a lot about barbecue. He spent time in Austin really learning the craft. We're going to talk to him a little bit, not so much about the barbecue side, but about the other side of The Beast, which is his very large collection of bourbon. Thanks very much, Thomas, for taking the time to speak to me today.
Pleasure.
So, how did you get into bourbon?
So, I come from a spirits background. I spent 7 years of my life before working in marketing fancy spirits and big brands. So I was really interested in all the categories. But while I was working in New York, I really discovered the world of bourbon. I was really focused and interested in the pre-prohibition era. And bourbon was obviously one of the most dynamic categories at the time. And I found that funny that this category was so tiny in France, and I caught my attention. I happen to love the product, which is very smooth and easy to drink. I'm not a huge scotch drinker, but I love bourbon. It happens to go perfect with barbecue, with the mellowness and the smoothness and some smokiness and hints of vanilla. It works perfect with barbecue. So both world combined go together perfect. And that's why I decided to start a collection of bourbon, and I think we have the biggest American whiskey selection in France with more than 80 references.
Okay, and so we were talking a little bit about how scotch is such a huge huge product here in France, and is it? I think it is the biggest selling spirit in France.
Absolutely.
Okay, so why do you think it is? Is it just closeness to Scotland, or is it the activity of brands here? Why do you think it is that French people are consuming all of this scotch, but they're not really, they don't know anything about bourbon?
To be honest with you, I was surprised when I found that France was the biggest country for scotch. I think most of it comes from nightclubs, which is a huge volume for brands in terms of consumption. Most of them come from young people between 18 and 25, I guess, that go out to clubs and drink whiskey and coke.
Yeah, I can see that with the table service. So how are the French people reacting to your selection here when they come in?
I'm pretty amazed by the curiosity of people. When I started this restaurant, and I told myself I'm going to have a bourbon selection, I thought maybe it's not going to work. And I'm just passionate about bourbon, but if people don't want it, it will be a nice decor on the wall. It will be perfect within the ambience. Mm-hmm. That's the worst case scenario. It happens to be working amazingly well because people are curious and they're demanding information. So when you're providing the right information to people and train them and bring them to where they want to be in terms of knowledge, I think they're happy to taste something different. I see more and more French people getting their barbecue trays with bourbon, which great. I never thought would be possible in Paris.
Now, when they come in, if a newbie comes in and says, okay, I'm a little bit overwhelmed by all of these, what do you recommend I start with? What would you tell them?
Well, there's different criteria that you want to look at when you look at the menu. It's a big, big menu, so it's normal to get lost, and myself and the staff are here to help people out. So the first thing you want to know is what they like. So we have different categories. We have bourbons, we have rye, we have American whiskeys, but all of them are very different. So you want to identify what they like. If they like dry products, if they want something very sweet, which is, if they want something dry, we direct them towards rye, which is to me more like a regular scotch drinker. If they want something mellow and sweet, we will direct them towards bourbons. And we have very sweet bourbons, we have dry bourbons, we have spicy bourbons. So it really depends on their taste.
Have you noticed any kind of trends? Like, for example, are French people gravitating more towards the rye, and maybe the international crowd that comes in here more towards bourbon or anything like that? Or is it just anybody's guess?
I don't like cliches and categorizations, but I have a tendency to think that ladies that want... because a lot of ladies drink bourbon, actually, here. And they tend to like something really, really bourbon style, which is sweet, mellow, round. Bourbon comes from new barrels, so the vanilla flavor is really intense, and I think ladies like that. Lots of male scotch drinkers have a tendency to go for rye.
Okay.
They like something a little bolder, a little more robust. So they would go either for rye or for straight from barrel bourbon.
Okay.
Higher proof bourbons.
Do you always serve it straight, or do you ever make cocktails in here?
We make old fashions. That's it. We keep it simple.
I think that's a very good thing to do. I think it's nice because it's a simple concept. I'm not saying it's simple to do, but it's a simple concept that's executed very, very well with the barbecue and the bourbons. I usually finish up by asking people their favorite cocktail, so I'm going to ask you that. But also, I'd like to know if you have first a favorite whiskey.
I have several favorite bourbons. The easy one to go to. Well, we have such a big selection here. It's hard for me to select, but yeah. I like Blanton's. I think we get it for a good price, so we are able to sell it at a very decent price, much cheaper than in the U.S. So when we have a lot of American customers every night, and when they see our Blanton's price, they're pretty surprised and they love it because it's very, very affordable. So Blanton's is a good first range product, as well as Buffalo Trace. I absolutely love the Heaven, Elijah Craig 18 years old.
It's nice.
Which is probably one of my favorite bourbons, because it's so rich and intense and long, and the finish on the palate is phenomenal. Now, if I have to go for a higher proof, I would go for the Thomas Handy Rye. Sazerac rye.
Yeah, but can you? I mean, it's so hard to get, right?
It is hard to get. Well, we're lucky enough to carry it here. Yeah. So, if you want to try something really rare and different and amazingly good, that would be the one I would go to. I leave the Pappy Van Winkles for collectioners and people that are crazy about this one. We do carry the whole range as well.
Okay, very good. And what's your favorite cocktail?
obviously the old fashioned is my go-to cocktail. I have to say I love, I don't like really sweet cocktails, so I would go for stirred and not too sweet cocktails. I like Vieux Carrés, I like old style cocktails. I like vermouth cocktails, I like sherry cocktails. I'm crazy about sherries right now. I have a couple bars that know what I like, and when I go there, they have great selection of sherries. And
which bars are they? Are you going to tell us?
I can tell you some of them.
Okay.
Well, Copper Bay is we're neighbors and we work great together. They're friends, so I have a tendency to go there pretty often. Sendika is a great French spirit bar,
right,
that I like a lot. Gravity, recently
they're
opened.
Doing great stuff there.
They have an amazing menu. The service is phenomenal. That would be the three bars I would pick right now. Mary Celeste is...
Especially if you're liking vermouth things. They do a really nice job.
They have an amazing collection.
Style.
Absolutely.
Cocktails, so that's great.
And they're not far from the beach, so it's easy for me to go there after service.
You're well situated.
Absolutely.
Which also means if you come down here, you are well situated to maybe eat some food at the beach, check out a bourbon, and then you can walk to all these places as well. So I'm going to wrap up because I am going to eat some barbecue for lunch. So thank you very much for taking the time for doing this interview with me. And and now I think I'm going to shut this off so I can eat.
Go ahead. Bon appetit.
Thanks.
Thomas is such a nice guy. Once you start talking to him, you just kind of forget everything else. There were a couple of things that didn't get into the interview that I just wanted to bring up in follow up. I had recently been to a tasting event at the Beast. It was a tasting event run by the guys from Heaven Hill, and they brought some really nice whiskeys for us to try. And so I asked Thomas if he was looking at doing more events like that in the future, and he said absolutely. He works closely with some really good brands like that, so hopefully that means we can look forward to more really interesting tastings happening at the Beast. And also, when he was talking about the bars he really likes to visit, he also mentioned one of my personal favorites, Red House. We just wanted to make sure that that made it in here as well. So now let's see what the next guys have to say. So I'm here at Mabel. It's Rum Emporium and Cocktail Den, and I'm with owner and bartender Joseph Akeran. And we're going to talk a little bit about his focus on rum and also his cocktails. So thank you, Joseph, for taking the time to speak with me.
Thank you for having me, Forrest.
So you can't really talk about rum in Paris without the name Mabel coming up. How many references do you have in the bar right now?
At this time, we have 120 different rums.
Okay.
So we started out with 106 when we opened. So gradually, we keep adding a little more as, you know, new products come out and new things become interesting. But now it's around 120.
How do you decide which rums you're going to have in the bar?
Mainly, the idea is to have a nice variety of styles. So we try to focus on that first. So let's say molasses, French rums, demerara rums, heavy rums, light rums. So we try to cover all those categories. Also, we try to have as many styles in terms of origins. And then it's pretty much about my own taste, which also translates the taste that I think the customers will like. So we try not to do any easy rums, let's say. So there are a lot of brands we don't have behind the bar. Not because it's too commercial or because of this or because of that. We do have some commercial rums, but it's typically the type of rum that we want to put forward is the type of rum that we think deserves some attention.
In general, are these kind of rums that are better to drink straight or to mix in cocktails?
Yes, we have rums that we only focus on for cocktails, and we don't actually put them on the rum list. But mostly our rums are for tasting. So let's say we have 120, we have 10 or 12 behind in the rack for cocktails, and all the rest is mainly for tasting. But sometimes customers will come to me and say, I really like this rum, I know it's for tasting, but is there any way you can make me an old fashioned or Manhattan or something like that? So in this case, of course, we can do it. But mainly the rums we have, we serve as a glass.
Mabel is really well known for its rums, but you're really well known for being one of the city's best bartenders. So do people come in here more often? Is it the cocktails that are the draw or the rum?
Since we opened, 85% of what we sell are cocktails from the menu. This is our main item, let's say. And then we have 10%, it's rum, so either by the glass or one of our rum flights.
Mm-hmm.
And 5% is everything else. So it's other spirits, other cocktails, and we have a couple of beers, so that's it. But mainly people come for cocktails. Yes.
Okay, yes. And you don't have wine on the menu here, do you?
No wine, no draft beers, and our food menu focuses on grilled cheese only.
Oh yes, that's right. For the listeners who haven't been here, and you should get down, I forgot to mention, it's not just a rum bar, but there is a grilled cheese shop in the front, and the grilled cheeses are very good, so you should come and try those. I've been talking to some other people this week because the focus is on bars that focus on a particular spirit.
Yeah.
So I talked to Tuma over at The Beast for his selection of American whiskeys, and I talked to Javier at Sherry Butt, and both of them have focuses on whiskeys, slightly different.
Mm.
But to me, it's really interesting because whiskey is such a... It's the biggest selling spirit in France.
Yes.
I don't really see it consumed very often here. So, you know, it was interesting for me to ask them, how are the French people reacting to your very specific collections of whiskey? So, same question for you. I mean, how are the French people? What is the relationship between French consumers and rum?
We have two types of customers. We have customers who know what they want, so they will be here because they heard about us or whatever, so they will come for rum, and they almost already know what kind of rum they will go for. And we have another customer who will actually tell us, well, I know you're a rum bar and a cocktail bar. I try some cocktails and I would like to try some rum. I have no idea what I should drink. Can you explain to me what I should drink? And from that point, we start talking to them. You know, we say, okay, let's start with something not easy but quite approachable. And if you like it, you can come back for another time and have something else. So it's a mix of both. We have very expert kind of customers, and they will have their own selection. Say, oh, I have this one, and this one. So I'm doing my own journey. And another type of customers will completely trust us for whatever we can provide. I think the good thing about rum is that the image is a pretty good image. It's almost associated with party and with the fun, but it's also in a way considered as a sipping drink. So it's a mix of both, you know. And what I like is that we have this same feeling when we talk to the customers. They're ready to have something fun, but they also want something that will be complex and different than what they usually have.
I hear people say, and I kind of agree, this is a bar that draws a lot of industry people. Lots of times when I come by and I sit at the bar, there's another bartender there, there's a brand rep there, there's somebody that works in the cocktail and spirits world. Why do you think that this bar is so attractive? And also, every time I ask people in my interviews, favorite bars, Mabel comes up quite often. So why are you so popular with the pros?
Honestly, I'm very surprised. Before we opened, we already had the idea of everything that we want to put together. And I told Sam, who is my business partner, I told him, I think our only issue will be that I don't think bartenders will like this bar. Because we know we are sitting only, it's a different approach also because we focus on rum, and I don't know how, you know, bartenders like rum or not. And I think, but you know, we are friends, so they will come, but I don't think we'll be a bar that will attract the attention of the industry. So when you say this to me, if you told me this 2 years ago before we opened, I said, for us, I'm sorry, I don't think this will be an industry bar. I think they like the setting because it's actually kind of comfortable. So when you have a date or you want to go out, you bring your girlfriend here, whether you're in it from the industry or not. And I don't know, it's a good question. I'm trying to figure it out still today. But the sitting only thing was my only worry about industry. I thought, they don't want to bother about, you know, stools, chairs, whatever. And I'm happily surprised to see new faces and friendly faces every day.
I think that's great. I really like the seating only rule because I just get tired of being, you know, squished in and pushing and shoving. It makes for a nicer experience.
Yeah, so, I agree.
All right, very good. So, in general, Is your clientele mainly French, mainly international, a good mix of both?
It's a good mix of both. Obviously, we do have more French people, especially we have a lot of people from the area who either work here and will come here after work for a drink or live here, so they will come back from work and stay here for a drink. We do have a lot of tourists, I would say, so especially from the States. Also, a lot of expats who are here for a short term or long term. But they kind of like the idea of going to a cocktail bar that is in the area. Also, the food program kind of attracts the American crowd.
Yeah.
So, obviously, into the bar as well. I would say it's 70-30 maybe, from what I can notice. And in holiday season, it gets closer to 50-50.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rum Fest is coming up in a few weeks, right?
Yes.
And there's a Rum Week. You are part of the Rum Week, aren't you?
Yes.
And so what are you going to be doing?
Give us a
sneak peek.
I wish I could tell you more. We just got enrolled in the Rum Week program. That was last weekend. We just heard about it. So all I can tell you is that every bar is very close to what we see for Cocktail Week. So every bar is associated with the brand. So they will showcase a cocktail, put forward a cocktail with this brand, and also have a selection of rum that people can taste. That's all I can tell.
Can you tell us which brand you'll be doing here, or is that a secret?
Okay. I don't know yet. I haven't got in touch with any brands yet, so I will try to do this next week.
Okay.
But so far, that's all I can say.
All right, very good. So if somebody comes in and they're not very familiar with rum, complete newbie,
yes.
What do you recommend for them? It sounds like you'll want to talk to them and get an idea of their taste. Do you recommend just having a rum? Do you recommend a particular flight? Or just do you play it by ear for each one?
Yes. So either flights or rum. So that's our first question. We say, would you like just a rum? Or would you like to try one of our flights? Because we do have a couple of flights that are very approachable. And sometimes we know these customers, they want to try more than one rum, but they don't want to go as far as ordering three different rums. So these flights are quite okay, because you can have half shots basically. So we go from there, and usually our question is, do you want something heavy and dry like a whiskey, or you're a whiskey fan, or do you want something that will be more mellow? And usually they will come up with a couple of brands they know, and we can go from there, knowing then their taste and the palate and what they're used to. And we obviously we don't go for that brand, of course, but we will try to find something very close, but just a little more complex, just to show them something that they haven't tried before. Or if they say, oh, I'm a whiskey fan, so I want something dry, we have also a nice selection of rum that will almost make you think that you are drinking whiskey. And also from there, we can go as much as we can, complex and more complex. So this is our first question. Want dry or mellow? Are you a whiskey fan? Are you a rum fan? And for flights, same thing. We have flights that are quite dry and quite powerful, quite heavy, or other ones that will be more mellow, softer, and easy to drink, let's say, more approachable.
This is always, I think, a delicate question, because people don't want to necessarily spotlight one thing. But do you have a favorite rum?
I mean, one style of rum. I like heavy rums in general. It's almost, I mean, you know, it's difficult to pick one rum. It's like if you like cinema, you like watching movies, and sometimes you're in the mood for something very easy to watch because you don't want to think too much, so you go for a comedy or easy action movie and you will enjoy it. And sometimes you just want to stay 3 hours in the cinema watching a black and white Swedish unsubtitled movie, and you just go for this. So rum for me is the same kind of feeling. Sometimes I want something very complex because I've had something on my mind and I want to sip on a drink for 1 hour looking at the bottle and thinking about how they made it and whatnot. And sometimes I just want something quite easy because I just want a quick rum and not think too much about it. But in general, I do like rum from Guyana, especially when they are heavy on the pot still, so they will not taste like whiskey, but they will bring you to something more pungent and more aromatic, let's say. Same, I like rum from Barbados, Trinidad, Jamaica. Those are my favorite destinations.
Okay.
But I also do like rum from Guatemala, which are more light, and in Central America in general. But if I had to choose one rum, one type of rum, I would go for heavy pot still Guayan rum.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've inspired me. I'm going to have to come down and try some flights with you and have some more rum knowledge, especially in the run-up to Rum Fest. So... Do you drink, when you drink rum, do you normally drink it straight or do you drink a lot of cocktails?
If it's rum, I usually drink it straight. I do drink cocktails, of course, but I like to pick one rum and just stick with it.
And if you had to pick your favorite cocktail, and I know that's also a tough question, people ask me all the time.
Yes.
What's your favorite cocktail?
I don't know, I would say I like Presidente as a cocktail. It's a very, very interesting cocktail because I believe it can please someone who is into dry drinks like a Manhattan's or Negronis or Old Fashions. But also it has that slight approach of a, not sweet drink, but soft drink, you know, because it's slightly sugary with the rum, of course, and the grenadine. So it can also please someone who be more into sweet drinks, you know. I like Presidente. I like Mai Tais when it's really well done. This is two different drinks, but at this I can go either way.
And can you tell the listeners what's in an El Presidente?
Yes, of course. It's Cuban rum. This is the base of the drink. So it's a far-fetched Manhattan, if you will. So Cuban rum, dry vermouth usually, also orange curacao, bitters, and just a dollop of grenadine. And all stirred and served up like a Manhattan. And there's one that they used to make at 69 in London that was bottle aged, and that was 6 months bottle aged. That was beautiful.
They do great stuff there, so it's hard to go wrong there. All right, well, I will not take up any more of your time because I know it's a busy week for you. I'll be coming back to see you on Sunday because there is Mace in the house. Nico De Soto is going to be down here with Joseph, and they're going to be mixing up some special things on the menu.
Absolutely, yes.
So if you get a chance, come down this weekend. And if you can't come this weekend, come during Rum Week or come whenever because it's a good bar to stop by. Thank
Anytime.
You, Joseph.
Anytime. Thank you, Forrest.
So I'm here at Sherry Butt, and I am going to speak to Javier Sham Lorenzo. And if you haven't been down here, Sherry Butt is an award-winning bar. They make some great cocktails. They're just off of Bastille. And they're very well known for their selection of whiskey, which is why we are speaking to Javier today. So thanks, Javier, for taking the time to speak with me.
Welcome, Forrest. Welcome, guys.
So I start off with something really easy to break us in. Can you describe, in your opinion, the Paris cocktail scene in three words?
Well, I would say creative, crazy, and I think funny. Like, its three words were, like, really similar but really different. But I think it described really well the European cocktail scene. Because you got London, you got Paris, you got Berlin, you got even Denmark, which are really good, who have really good bars. So I think European cocktail scene does have nothing to envy to American or Asian cocktail scene, I think.
So you guys are really well known for your whiskey selection. About how many references of whiskey do you have?
Like 100.
Okay,
I would
great.
Say. Yeah.
And what was the inspiration in the beginning for focusing on whiskey?
Well, my boss, Amaury Guillaume, basically really liked whiskey. He made his class in Scotland, or Ireland, I don't remember exactly, I'm sorry. But he really liked whiskey and he really liked sherry. So when he wanted to open a bar, he wanted something in the same spirit, you know, about cocktails, about whiskey, everything focused on that. So he chose the name Sherry Butt because this thing, I like the both thing he loved much, so sherry and whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
And then he created Sherry Butt because because he loved cocktails as well. He loved making cocktails, create cocktails, and we do as well. So that's why we're working with him and we work for him. So I would say like, whiskey and sherry are like our most basic thing. So if you go on the menu, you will say you would see like some whiskeys. Cocktail whiskeys and sherry cocktails as well, because we try to ally both and try to people to like it, because French people are not used to cocktails, so it's been like a few years and cocktail scene is growing, so people are starting to go more often to a cocktail bar, so that's make like people want to try things, and we try to that people enjoy trying new things, so that's our point.
Very good.
Whiskey, cocktails, and sherry.
So when people come in, do they come generally more often for the whiskey or more often for the cocktails?
I would say 50-50. Mm-hmm. Or more 60-40. For 60 for cocktails and 40 for whiskeys. Mm-hmm. Because French people basically are people who like wines, you know, aperitif like that. They're not like they don't have that culture of whiskey like Scotland have or America does. But it start growing like for some brands like Domaine des Hautes Glaces, Vulson, you know, like or Belvoir or P&M, which are French whiskey who are really good. You know, we got on the menu. We did a French flight for that. You know, like that, like American people or foreigner tourists or French people like can try French whiskey because they are not used to it. They are more used to Scottish, Japanese, because it's growing and it's which are really good. Which one was the question again? Sorry.
If people come more for the cocktails or for the whiskey?
So yeah, basically I would say 60-40. People when come for whiskey, they're really glad because they find a really good selection and they can find basically whatever they want. Like we got whiskey from all over the world, so from South Africa, so from Taiwan, from Japan, from America, from Scotland, from India, from Sweden. All over the world. So we try to do that.
Okay, and so. Is your clientele mostly French, mostly international, or a mix?
A really big mix, I would say. Well, since the things will happen in November,
yeah.
So less tourists are coming in Paris, which I think is normal. But basically, we get a big clientele, part of our customer who are tourists who heard about us, about like in the newspapers or on the blogs. Which are really cool. So yeah, we got French and foreigners, so I'm happy with that because I like to serve French people because French people are not used to it, and I like to serve like American people who are mostly a big part of our customers.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, because they are cool and they already know, you know, they already got that cocktail culture, so they want to try everything, and that's what I like. Because French people are most inclined to be afraid of what they don't know.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because they are not used to it. So we try to, make them comfortable with that and make try them new things, you know?
Very good. So I find it really interesting that in France, the biggest selling spirit is actually whiskey, but we're not talking about sort of the high-end whiskeys. You know, I think mm-hmm. that it's due to a lot of clubs or people having whiskey and Coke.
Exactly.
So do you have a lot of French people that come in and just say, I'll have a whiskey Coke?
That can happen sometimes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't lie, but most of the time it's the weekend, you know, like around Saturday at 1 p.m., you know, when people are don't know where they're going, so they just walk and see there is things happening in here because you don't reach to see like from the outside. So they come in, don't know the place, come and ask for a whiskey coke, and nicely we just say that we don't do that, and like we just give them the our menu, like that they can see, or we propose things, we try to take care of them and know what they're looking for exactly, if they want something sour, sweet, or something like that. But if they just want a whiskey coke, well, I don't have a choice. The customer is the king, but it's not something who is proper to that kind of place, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So this is too bad. I just say too bad to the customer, but he do whatever he wants.
All right, seems like a good attitude.
But I think that we are lucky in France because we like are in the middle of everything, and we can have everything we want, like basically from all Europe, from America too, because we import a lot from Asia too. So I think we're kind of lucky because we can have a lot of. Things that like Americans can't have or English can't have because mm-hmm. in England I think the law about that is
right.
Weird.
So
yeah.
You, with the regulations, you have access to a wider
exactly.
range of whiskey. So and how do you go about selecting the whiskeys that you feature here?
Basically, I like to go in some bars and try things that I don't know. Or enjoy when, you know, there's events like Whiskey Live, Cocktail Spirit, or things like that to try new things. And then I can see what I want, I can test a lot of things, so then we can choose. And basically, we are three bartenders, so we try one product and talk about it and make a decision about it. So basically, we work at three. You know what I mean? Like, even right. for the cocktails, that's what we do. So we get someone got an idea about like a syrup, because we only work about syrups. We don't work about like fresh fruits, but we work like fresh fruits, but we make it in syrups. And then we get our base of cocktail, and then we have a spirit, and we try to work the three of us together to find the best way, because I think you work well with three palettes than one, because you have everybody is not the same, it doesn't sure. have the same taste, so it have everybody have to like it, I have to like it, you know what I mean? So
if somebody came in here who wasn't very familiar with whiskey mm-hmm. and said, okay, I'd like to learn about whiskey, mm-hmm. what would you recommend, a particular flight or a particular whiskey, what would you tell them to do?
Basically, if it's someone who really don't know the whiskey, I would start with just a half measure of something like really basic, you know, like a bourbon, mm-hmm. like Blanton's, Buffalo Trace, Maker's Mark, or I just would ask them if they want to try really something that they don't know. Like I would propose maybe a Japanese whiskey or a really peated Scotch, but that is just for people who are really like adventurers, you know okay. what I mean? But for people who are a little bit afraid of whiskey, I would just propose maybe like a regular whiskey like Buffalo Trace, Blanton's, or regular blend Scotch like Brett's King Street, Glasgow, or something like that. Or, because we do that as well, cocktails.
So that seems like maybe a nice way to ease yeah. people who aren't really familiar with whiskey
exactly.
into whiskey.
That who are afraid, gonna taste and would say, oh, that's pretty good. I would try it neat.
Well, right.
You know what I mean? So that's pretty sweet too.
Okay.
And this is an advantage for us to make people like things like that.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do. That's
great. Right.
And the job of the distillers, Maître de Chai, are to do the great products for us to express them. You know?
Is there a particular cocktail that is sort of a favorite around here that a lot of people order?
Based on whiskey, there is two.
Okay.
We got like 12 cocktails on the menu. Two are with whiskey. We got the Memento Mori, which is a cocktail based on Japanese whiskey, which is Nika from the Brian, with a beer. Beer, I don't know.
Beer. We say beer
exactly.
in English
beer
as well, yeah.
Infused with the black cardamom. Mm-hmm. Vermouth del Professore. Mm-hmm. Bar spoon of Fernet Branca and a black saline solution. So kind of dry cocktail made proposed on a big ice cube made mm-hmm. on a shave on diamonds or in the ice bowl, you know. Or we got the Sage Decision, which are a cocktail where you will find a rubber band Scotch, blended Scotch, but it's not the base on the whiskey. The base is on sake. We just had a part of Scotch to get like. It's rustic side on the mm-hmm. cocktail with some orchard syrup, lemon, peach liqueur, and sage.
Well, they both sound nice.
Yeah.
Shame I have to run off, otherwise I'd try one right now. Do you have a particular favorite whiskey for yourself?
This is difficult, you know, because there's a lot of things, everything is different, and as a bartender, I have to appreciate each part of it, you know, because you can make whiskey all over the world, and every whiskey is different. You got like Vithund, the Swedish whiskey, which is really particular. Most of the people not appreciate it because they don't know that kind of whiskey, so they're not comfortable with that. So, but as a bartender and as a whiskey lover, I have to try to enjoy each part of it. So my favorite whiskey maybe would be the Yoichi 15.
Okay, nice choice.
Yeah, very Japanese good. Whiskey, it's cool. I really like Yoichi 15 because, you know, simple and just really good.
Great. So, and do you have a favorite cocktail?
Well, with whiskey again, Memento Mori for me is really good. It's not because it's one of our cocktails, but the Memento Mori, it's really, really good. Like, kind of spicy, really fresh, thanks to the black cardamom that smoky side bring for, off, bring by the black cardamom and the Nika from the bar. I really love it, but as a classic cocktail, I would say has every bartender maybe the old-fashioned.
Yeah.
You know. Really easy choice, but I really like it. Or the penicillin. Penicillin, I really like. I love it too.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like you've got good taste in cocktails.
Yeah, well, you know, basics.
Yeah.
Everybody has to know that. Different kind of, yeah.
Very good. Good. Well, I will let you get back to work. Thank you very much for taking the time to speak to me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
I'll be back down soon to try some cocktails. All right. Thanks. Bye.
You're welcome.
Thanks again to Joseph of Mabel, Thomas of The Beast, and Javier of Sherry Butt. We'll put links to their bars in the show notes. Thanks to Emily Dilling, who edits and produces the podcast. And finally, thanks as always to Sun Little for the use of The River as our show music. If you are dying for more cocktail talk between episodes, head over to the blog at www.52martinis.com. If you have questions or topics you'd like to hear us cover, drop us a line via the link in the show notes. And until next time, cheers.